now the Rosa Tralee, just over and done and dusted, the first time in a couple of years because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So how was it, and what about plans for next year? Where are things stand with the festival as things go forward? With me in our studio in Tralee, we've got Executive Chair of the Rosa Tralee International Festival, Anthony O'Gara. Anthony, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
I hope you've had some rest in the last couple of days.
Very, very much so, and badly needed, but delighted to be getting back to normal now.
How do you feel overall the festival went from the organisers' point of view?
It was the best festival, I would think, that we've had in the town in 20 years. You know, on balance between the MTU, park, the streets, and every other aspect of it. It was very well received. And considering that we were working with a small team and that we had limited time to get in and a limited budget to kick off with, we couldn't be happier. It just, the weather, everything seemed to go in our favour, and hopefully a lot of the people who might have been a little bit nervous about, you know, the changes and how things were going, will have seen a wonderful festival and will have enjoyed it.
Okay, talk to me about the TV event in itself. How do you think the MTU worked out for you? Sports Academy.
Yeah, the MTU was potentially a very good venue. It wasn't designed as an events venue, and, you know, there would need to be some tweaking done. But it certainly is the best that Tralee has to offer, you know, by a mile. It's something that, you know, the taxpayer and local people and fundraisers locally, etc., and by GAA, helped to put 19 million together to bring about. And I think, you know, all of the people who would have been up there will have realised that, you know, there's an incredible facility there. As I said, it would need tweaking. But it was almost every single person we spoke to considered it to be a much better venue, both for the Rose Bowl and for the selection night. So that's heartening. However, very expensive for us to go into as a festival. And we hope that when we get into discussions with the MTU now, they may realise the potential of it and may be willing to carry a fair share of the costs associated with highlighting it as an event.
So it wasn't, in terms of the savings that you would have, maybe some people have an idea, there would have been savings from not having to put up the dome and keep it up and take it all down again. That wasn't the case with the cost involved for you this year.
It was the case to some extent, but not nearly to the extent that we would have hoped, because the cost just crept up further and further. So it might be about 50,000 better than the dome overall. However, you know, people will have rightly said, for example, that the Rose Bowl cost at 162 plus VAT, bringing it up to 200, seemed very expensive. Because you're using a venue and you have to put so much money into it, which we did have to do, we still would have lost more than 50,000 euros on the Rose Bowl. It's hard to explain all the logic of that to people, but it's very factual. So we would need to have an arrangement with the MTU rather than paying them money for us to go into their facility and highlight it on 5 hours of TV, that they would recognise the value of that to the institution, and hopefully they will now. And you know, there's a lot of good people up there, and we need to build a relationship with them. And
yeah,
we particularly, I think, need to build a relationship with the people in Cork who run the overall MTU organisation. And let's see how that goes. I would hope that we'd have positive discussions with them.
Would you hope to be back there next year?
I would hope to be, but we couldn't afford to be back there on the basis that we enter there this year.
Yeah, yeah, like that 50,000 on the Rose Bowl, did you say? I mean, that's not sustainable going forward.
Well, I mean,
year after year.
We have losses of about 80,000 in total from the three events in the MTU versus, say, maybe 120,000, 130,000 if we're on the dome. So it's somewhat better. It's a much better facility, obviously. And it has much better services, and it's a way better place to take people from the point of view of, you know, it's a great building, great parking, great facilities, everything. So it is a facility that I would hope that we can develop, and we can develop, you know, a balanced commercial relationship with the people there. But it's a sensitive thing, you know. Obviously,
yeah,
their focus
is there a reluctance? Is there a reluctance, Anthony, on the other side? Do you sense that they can talk for themselves, and we'll ask them the question? in terms of understanding maybe, or being committed to say, yes, this is a new opportunity for us, we'll move forward with it. The Rose of Tralee is important. It is a bigger organisation now, and a lot of it is run from Cork. So is there a feeling that maybe perhaps there isn't a big buy-in as of yet?
Yes, there was a significant reluctance, which I understand.
It's an educational institution.
Yes.
First and foremost.
And it's taken its first steps, being a university. And, you know, maybe people in Cork don't have quite the feel for what it is the Rose of Tralee is. And we're, you know, somewhat nervous, to put it mildly, I think, about having an event in their new facility. But I think Tralee has to be strong, you know, that side of the partnership have to be strong and have to be capable of saying, look, there was a lot of money spent on this in Tralee. It's a public utility in that sense. And... you know, the town is lucky to have it, but we're only lucky to have it in the fullness of that sense. You know, if it's a balanced proposition for people to utilise.
Yeah. Okay. Look, a listener gets in touch, and on the wider sense, I know you were in the Meadowlands Hotel and very happy with that. A listener says, look, why wasn't the Rose Hotel used this year?
We have spoken publicly about that a number of times and been very open about it. The Rose Hotel. Gradually, over the four years that we were involved with them with the festival, brought our support from 100% of the original agreement back to 20% of the original agreement, plus wanted to bring our costs up by about 30%, and it just wasn't a proposition that we would have been capable of engaging with. We didn't set out to move on from the Rose Hotel, and we continue to wish them well, and we've moved on a friendly basis. But the proposition that the Rose Hotel put to us became tighter and tighter and tighter every year. We don't know why that is. Never will, I think. But anyway, that's the way that worked over the years. So all I can say is when we did ask our friends in the Meadowlands for support, the warmth of the reception that we got there and the genuine hospitality that we got there was just extraordinary. And it was a wonderful place for us to be. And people don't quite get this. We weren't holding the festival in the Meadowlands Hotel. We were using the Meadowlands Hotel as a facility for our roses, for RTE and for our team to have that facility to work out of and then to go out to the festival and the various parts of it. It worked extraordinarily well, and we'd be very happy to go back there, and we look forward to many years with them.
Yeah. Anthony, this question gets asked this time every year, and I know it's easier said than done. Why don't they build a permanent fixture for the Rose of Tralee and rent it out for concerts during the year when the Rose of Tralee is not on? It's been attempted. The finances of it are difficult. Building something like that is not easy, I'd imagine, to be part of the answer.
Not easy, but a town like Tralee should be capable of delivering it. But find a person that's willing, you know, to put their money where everybody else's mouth is, in a sense, my own included.
Yeah.
It's not an easy proposition. And, you know, whether you look at the very successful event venues, such as existing Killarney, you know, they're not easy, I'm sure, their proprietors would tell you, to operate either.
And to keep going and keep heads above water.
Yeah. We are going to take a new initiative for the next festival, and we're going to start working on that straight away. And I think we need to stick with Tralee, and we need to focus on Tralee in a broader sense. There's often an awful lot of talk about, you know, did the publicans support you this year? And I'm fascinated always by the fact that people focus on publicans as if they were the only business people in the town, and obviously they're not. So we're going to quietly approach and become part of what we would hope will become a larger group of people. There are about 500 active, healthy businesses in the town of Tralee and in the general area. And I'm talking about professional service businesses included. So if you look at all of the great people that we have in this county capital, from dentists and doctors and pharmacies, legal, accounts, finance, insurance, auctioneers, architects, opticians, consultants, jewellers, banks, societies, insurance people, motor sector, large stores, restaurants, off-licence, small, medium and large businesses. There are about 500 entities. And I think if they came together and we stopped talking about, let's say, the Rose of Tralee, looking for funding from the town towards the Streets Festival, which again is a significantly costly event, but one very well worth supporting. If all of those groups came together and set up a co-op, and that's what we're going to be asking them to look at, each of them having representation on the board of that co-op, and bring that together as an institution where when they work together, we could make Tralee an extraordinary town for festivity and otherwise, and could afford to do so properly, and it wouldn't lean too heavily on any of them. So sure. If you could imagine 500 businesses maybe contributing €500 each, some of them more, some of them less, obviously depending on their sizes.
So a sort of a business crowdfunding arrangement.
A business crowdfunding would be a good way of putting it, except a very fundamental difference. We would be saying to those businesses, set up this company, this co-op, take ownership of it. The Rose of Tralee can be one of the dozens of people involved, and we would support it heavily. And let's take that funding and let that group of people decide where it's best spent in Tralee, because I don't think any of the institutions that we have in Tralee at the moment address the huge opportunity that there is for festivity and for festivals to work on a much larger scale.
Would that coexist alongside, or would it be in conflict with the Chamber Alliance?
The Chamber Alliance, are maybe have a completely different focus. I know that when I went to the Chamber Alliance this year for support, I was surprised that they couldn't put any funding into the Rose of Tralee, and their logic, and I think they were using logic on their own basis, because they're probably struggling a bit as well, was to say that during 21 and 22 the Rose of Tralee didn't pay their €1,500 membership, and we did this year when we came back into being, and that the 3,000 that they would normally contribute to the Rose of Tralee was going to be back paid into those 2 years. And I just thought that was very short-sighted. But I understand that they are finding life tough themselves.
And businesses have gone through incredible pressure over the last 2 years.
So I think we need a new entity. And I think we need to stop looking at the traditional sources of funding, and we need to look at the professional sector and the services sector. And it's a very rich sector in Tralee, and I mean that in the broadest sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they came together and set up their own funding through a cooperative, not-for-profit, controlled that, because it's nonsense that, let's say, the Rose of Tralee ask the town to fund the streets, because, in a sense, the streets aren't what the Rose of Tralee should be focused on. We should be focused on getting roses and escorts, keeping our centres active, growing our centres around the world, and we have great plans to do that. But I think Tralee coming together in that way would create a very exciting opportunity for the town.
Would a co-op suggest maybe ownership and control? Would it be, are you looking to pass on the Rose of Tralee or sell it on?
It would certainly be a mechanism where that could happen, but initially what it could do would be inject money into that company, and that company could decide how it would best be spent to bring Tralee to life and to do the right thing in the sense of putting Tralee on the map. Because the Rose of Tralee, as an entity, the appreciation of the brand is massive around the country and in Irish communities around the world. We were in 8 different counties, as I said before, this year on tour. The welcome that you get and the enthusiasm that you get and the massive effort that the local businesses and people will put into your visit, it's just mind-blowing, and that's there to be harnessed. But unfortunately, because the people who went about rescuing the Rose of Tralee 19 years ago weren't moneyed people, and I'm one of those people, we haven't had the wherewithal to develop it to the level where it could be developed. So yeah. I've asked a couple of significant business people to talk with us. They've agreed to do that, and I would think it would be a very exciting venture for Tralee if we could quietly ask people to come together, form their own organisation, and I think it would help Tralee in every sense, and it would help the Chamber Alliance in every sense as well, because I think it needs to be refreshed, it needs to be looked at anew, and we need to wake up to the massive opportunity that there is there to have great festivity in this town. It's what we're renowned for, and it's what we should build on.
Yeah. It'd be important that if that was to happen, there's a lot of ifs there, Anthony, in what you're talking about, and a lot of talk would have to happen that it would be done in the right way, because in the past, the festival was run by large committees, lots of different interests, and it didn't always work out so well financially. It's a difficult thing to do, to manage and to run it. Let me talk about the television nights in particular. The viewership, how happy were you with it?
Very high numbers,
not what they were 10 years ago, but then again, with the fragmentation of the TV audience, it's a different ball game you're playing, but still high numbers.
Yeah, very high numbers. 70%, this sort of blew our minds anyway, of women between 15 and 35, which is an audience, I think, that if you think about commercially, apart from Hearts and Minds, that everybody would like to have a part of. 70% of women between 15 and 35 who were looking at television were looking at the Rose of Tralee. That's an extraordinary statistic. And it shows, you know, the popularity of the event and the appeal of the event. And by the way, the TV event, I'm sure, could be improved as well, but easier said than done, because it's a very delicate balance. But, you know, there's a massive audience there plugging into this. And what people forget is that it's over 5 or 6 hours, not over a half an hour, which is a typical program. It's much easier to get a big TV audience around a half hour program, maybe in the middle of winter, than it is a 6 hour, 5-6 hour program in the autumn. So we have all the fundamentals there to build on, and I think we need to build on them.
Okay, there was a lot of controversy. One of the unexpected controversies came about on the morning after the Rose was unveiled, was the tiara and the situation in regards to why wasn't there a tiara. A lot of people got very focused on it. The answer from yourselves was that, look, you had done this survey, you'd used the time of the downtime of COVID to like a look at maybe changes to the festival, and this is one you decided to dispense with.
Yeah, and look, we did, and that's all true. We did a lot of research work in our downtime, and one of the things that did come out of that was that, you know, the tiara is maybe too associated with events that are completely different to the Rose of Tralee. I know there's a genuine feeling as well that it's part of tradition, you know, but honestly, I think the young women that are participating in the Rose of Tralee, and Rachel Duffy is a very good example of it, don't particularly want to wear a tiara around if they happen to be walking into a room or at an event, and their attitude is that, you know, they're not Disney princesses, despite the fact that, you know, kids will look to them to that effect, perhaps. But, you know, you can have kids look up to you, and young girls and young boys look up to you without wearing the tiara, and maybe it's a healthier thing that you don't have one. Because they live in the real world, and they can show young people that living in the real world, holding down a real job and taking on, you know, all the challenges of life, you can be an exceptional person, you can be looked up to, but you don't have to be a princess type character. Mm. So look, we're open-minded about people's views on that, but the majority of people certainly felt that we should dispense with it. So we'll see how that goes for the year.
Okay. And aside that, I know Tipperary Crystal came. Did they come on board as a sponsor just before the festival? You were still looking for sponsors. No overall sponsor this year. The Ballygarry House, I know, came involved, the Ballygarry Hotel. They became involved as well. Is that something you'll have to look at, maybe getting a title sponsor back? Or are you happy with the multi-sponsor model?
No, we decided to move to a multi-sponsor model because of the difficulty that if you have one overall sponsor who, in a sense, dominates your capacity to have sponsorship, despite how generous they might be, if they decide to pull out, well, then you're in a very difficult place, especially if you're a small organisation, and obviously we're a very small organisation. So we had extensive discussions with Tipperary Crystal, and we persuaded them that they could be a significant sponsor, and that might be a healthier mix for all of us, and we would hope to build on that over the next 12 to 24 months and bring 4 or 5 other sponsors of that level on board. I mean, we were very happy that Tipperary stayed with us. That was very important, and we were very happy, you know, to have people like the Meadowlands and Padraig come on board. And sponsorship is a significant part of the life lifeblood of any festival, and as you know, as long as we do what we do well as a festival, I would hope that we won't have great difficulty there.
Okay, how is Rachel Duffy getting on?
Rachel Duffy is getting on very well. I don't know how they keep going, but the day after we all broke up, they continued their celebrations in Killarney, and the following day they were in Westmeath, and on Sunday she was at a trade fair for Tipperary Crystal, is doing many more things, I think, this week. So, typical young person, huge energy. Rachel brings something different to it. Her real passion, I think, is women in sport. That's a big part of her life. And she had said to us, you know, that she had gone from being a very competitive sports person to being a person who was a little bit more mature in sport and enjoyed playing it. You know, going back to the Mick O'Connell attitude to Gaelic sports of, you know, it was a part-time interest. But she's big into ladies in sport, and she was to be doing her Masters in Spanish and English this year, having done a BA in drama and theatre performance. But I think she's putting that aside for the year because she wants to focus on the Rose of Tralee and on her particular on the particular things that she wants to advocate for over the year. So I think she's going to be a very active Rose.
Okay, Anthony, a couple of comments coming in here. Listener says, good morning, Jerry. Festival is absolutely the best ever for the last few years. Past few years, I entered my nieces for Rosebuds and paid the fee, but unfortunately they weren't selected. How are the Rosebuds selected? A listener wants to know.
They're selected in a very simple way. About four or five of them are selected as part of the honour of being a sponsor. You can nominate a Rosebud, and the rest are picked out of a hat. And I can tell you, we could have 1,000 Rosebuds and 1,000 very happy mothers.
Huge demand.
There is, but one thing we're very careful with it, despite you know, the usual sort of commentary that you'll get that's so far off the mark. A Rosebud, we're not interested in them overdressing up. We don't want their nails done, and their, you know, we want them to be natural kids, and we've achieved that to date. It's not something that we make money on, but it is something that's very endearing, and you know, part of the magic of the Rose of Tralee is that you know, young girls are really hugely into it, and it gives them a special opportunity to be part of the Rose team, and they make you know, lifelong friends that way.
Okay,
so it's very popular, but we want to stay grounded with it, and I'm afraid it's the luck of the draw unless you're a sponsor.
And, sure. Yeah. Anthony O'Gara is the right man for Rose of Tralee. Caller once admired his Rose of Tralee lapel badge, and he took it off right then and there and gave it to her. This lady is 80 years old and from Tralee, and says she loves that badge. Well done to Anthony. Anthony, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. Lots of talks and discussions to come, I know, but thanks for telling us your perspective on where things stand with the festival as you head towards 2023.
Thank you, Jerry.